Amen. You can be seated. Miss Stewart talked to me before the service. And you know, you got to listen to preachers' wives. She said, "Larry, I brought my little bottle tonight." I didn't really know what she was talking about. I ain't going to tell you what I was thinking. I said, there was five ladies sitting on front row, and I said, "These five ladies on the front row, you in trouble." Miss Stewart said, "I bought my little bottle." I said, "What's that mean?" She said, "That mean it don't last long." So when she starts gasping for breath, we're done. I told her, I said, "If you get like that, I'll quit, I promise you." I know y'all tired. And you've been in church all day. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I promise you one thing. If you go to the mall, you'll spend all day and not think nothing about it. You go to Myrtle Beach, you'll be all over Myrtle Beach all day and never think nothing about it. But then we get to church. I got a few things that ought to help you. Amen. I'm going to tell you where I got this. Chicken soup for golfers. That's where I got it. 50 things and 50 ways you can enjoy golf. But I changed some things. Listen to this. Get there early enough to feel relaxed. You ever saw these people come in 2 minutes before service start? They trying to find a seat. Get here early. And you won't have to look for a seat. Amen. Just sit down and relax. Listen to this. Leave all your concerns in the car. I didn't say burdens. I said concerns. Concerned about, I wrote this down. Don't set no time or place you need to be on Sunday before 1 o'clock. Now, y'all get that. Can I say that? Some of y'all, I went right over here. I said, don't set no time or place you need to be on Sunday before 1 o'clock. I told my members of church, I pastored three of them. I said, "You ladies got them automatic ovens? You better not set that thing to go off at 12 o'clock because what's in there going to burn or freeze? One of the two. Number two, take your watch off. First thing I looked for was a clock. And there ain't one in here. I don't think. I've looked, I can't see real far, but I don't believe there's a clock. I preached in a church down in Columbia. They got a clock, but don't have no hands on it. And I told them, I said, "Why y'all got a clock with no hands on it? That means you can preach as long as you want to." And Shelby said, "Don't tell him that." Number three, turn your cell phone off. Now, I'm not nasty. I want y'all to know that. But if I see you thumbing through that cell phone, I'm going to come back here and preach right where you at. Amen, preacher. Yes, sir. Decide, listen to this. Decide to let nothing bother you for 3 hours. That includes Sunday school, by the way. Yeah. Decide to let nothing bother you for 3 hours. Come like it's your first time. And come like it's your last time. Miss Stewart, I'm trying to be nice. When I found out who she was and told me I got the little bottle, I listened. All right, amen. Smile. I told David a while ago when they were singing "What a Day That'll Be," Tim, I told David, I said, "Look out there at that congregation. They don't have a clue what they're singing about." When you get to thinking about what a day that'll be, there'll be no pain, no sorrow, no heartache there. That'll put a smile on your face if you are close to God. Now, if you're far away, you'll frown. Listen to this one. Come to church and repair someone else's hurts and feelings. Amen. Become your church's biggest fan.
Well, that's good, preacher. Amen. That's good.
I eat lunch with, where are they at? Raise your hand. There they are. They all wait to the back. I don't know why they're that far back. They need to be up front. But I went to eat with them. He had a tennis match today, and he probably lost. That's why he's sitting in the back. We're sitting in this restaurant today, a Greek restaurant. And I told my wife, I said, right there stands a preacher. He's black. I went over, I said, are you a preacher? He said, are you? I said, about that much. And I met five preachers in that restaurant, and every one of them was black. And one of them said, you got a card? I said, yeah, yeah. I said, that's funny that you would ask, but I got cards. That's how you get meetings, amen. What do you think? Yeah. Dave's got one of mine, amen. That's why I'm here. Listen to this, fellas and wives. Look at your spouse and look only for his or her best qualities. I always stand in the churches I pastored, the three, I'm always stood at the door and watched them come in the parking lot. Vicki and Daryl, I married them, and I was standing there watching them come in the parking lot, and Vicki got out and slammed the door. Daryl got out and slammed the door. They come up there, and I was grinning. I said, y'all having a good day, ain't you? I said, I tell you what y'all been doing. You've been fussing all the way to church. I said, now, when I give the invitation, both of you be on the altar. So I give the invitation, and they come right there, down there squalling and crying. I got right between them. I said, don't ever come to church like that again. A lot of y'all come like that this morning. You did. You and your wife been in a hornet's nest all week, and you come to church, and you look like where you been. Amen. I'll just stop right there. Listen to this one. Give advice only when asked. Especially with your spouse. Amen. Really see and appreciate the members all around you. Now, I'm going to do something I done Wednesday night. That gentleman over in the purple shirt, stand up. Do y'all know his name? Does everybody that knows his name, raise your hand. Good night. I did that Wednesday night and had a boy. I'd led him to the Lord 2 weeks prior to that. And those three hands went up. Then I had his wife to stand up. Stand up, sweetie. You is his wife, right? She's trying to figure out whether she is or not. But are you his wife or girlfriend? Girlfriend, okay. Then I won't have. How many of y'all know her name? Raise it. Good night. How long y'all been here? When you getting married? Did y'all, I can't go no further. Brittany, when I went down the aisle there this morning, Brittany said, I'm going up there and get that thing and take it down there and give it to him. That little leather thing I got over there. Girlfriend. Y'all look like you ought to be married. After service, we'll work that out, okay? Listen to this one. Keep reloading until you clear that obstacle that's in front of you. This is a 380. This is a 380 Colt. You know, I told that big guy sitting back yonder on next to the last row, I said, you're on my side, and if anybody makes a motion to come to that pulpit while I'm preaching, you take care of them. And then I got one on this side, one sitting there in that red shirt, amen. Keep reloading until you clear the obstacle. Keep a journal of your accomplishments and special moments of your life. Amen. Don't forget the good times. Don't forget the good times. Follow the course of your motivation with a favorite companion. So who's your motivator? The Holy Ghost. Amen. Lose attachment to the outcome stuck in your head. Celebrate the balance between doing well and just being well. Remember that in life, you get what you focus on, and focus on the best parts.
Amen.
Y'all not getting this, and this bothers me. Listen to this. Sit with strangers at every opportunity, and you'll end up with more friends that way.
That's right. Amen.
I pastored North Point Baptist Church, and it just exploded. They started with 41 members. I didn't want nothing to do with it. I told them, I'm not. No, you got the wrong man. But God got on my trail, and I took it. And we built a new building on University Parkway, and the first Sunday we was in it, had 550 people. I'm at the mall. Me and Mama and the two youngins, this couple walks up and said, hey, preacher. I thought, man, I don't know these people. I said, I'm sorry, but I don't think I know y'all. They said, well, we're members of your church. Here's what I started. In the spring and in the fall, I had a get-to-know Sunday. And the reason that one's there is sit with strangers at every opportunity, and you'll end up with friends that way. So what we did, Mom and me, we'd go to a couple in the church that we didn't know on that Sunday, and we'd ask them to go to dinner. I had everybody in the church do that. And you'd be surprised how quick 585 members can come together because of that get-to-know Sunday. I mean, we're going to sit. The lady with the white hair like mine, do you sit there every Sunday, that place? Not exactly, but close, right? Amen. How many of you have invited her out to dinner that really don't know her? I'm trying to help y'all. That's what God called me to do. You know, when you pastor a church, you're a family. Does everybody in here know your family members? Well, of course. But when you join Gateway Baptist Church, you become a part of a bigger family.
That's right.
And you was baptized into this family by the Holy Ghost. And there's no use to sit on that pew every Sunday and not fellowship with those that you don't sit with.
That's right.
You see, most of the attitude today is we got four and no more. We got our little group, and we don't want anybody else. Come on now. You know ain't I telling the truth there? Lady in the blue sweater, amen. She's grinning because she knew what I'm talking about. We have our four no more. That's not what church is all about. Church is all about carrying somebody else's burden rather than yours. Come on now. These little people sitting all over this church, their mom and daddy can't raise them by themselves. I'm going back. They need help to raise them babies. They can't do it. You cannot raise your kids by yourself. So where do you go? You bring them to church. That's what we're here for, to help you raise your children. And I got another thing. Your marriage ain't going to work until you get in church and we'll help your marriage work. Outside the doors of this church, everything out there is against your marriage to succeed. Everything. The TV you look at, where you go, everything you do is against man and wife marriage. So when you come in here, it's our responsibility as a church to help your marriage work. If you come in here fussing and fighting, we're going to straighten it out. Amen. I might not get but one shot, but that'll be okay. Listen to this, and I'm going to go ahead and preach what God's put on my heart. Same thing I preached this morning. Rerun. Aspire to be the best version of you at all times. Bite it. Don't let this thing get out of control. Don't let it get out of control. I'm serious as I've ever been. Do y'all mind if I pull my coat on? Amen. I know David don't do that, but he'll get over it. Amen. Do something to help make your church accessible for everyone. Do something to help make your church accessible for everyone. Think of 10 friends or relatives that could benefit from church like you do, and then make it a goal to introduce them to your pastor and your church. Take a moment and really appreciate a sunrise or a sunset that you normally take for granted. I'm 76 years old, folks, and I'm not going to see a whole lot more. Not as many as I have, but I'm going to enjoy the ones I got left.
Amen.
Because when I'm laying, as I said this morning, when I'm laying down here cold, dead, and stiff, if one person walks by and said, Larry Walker made a difference in my life, they ain't nothing else matters.
Right.
Make yourself accessible. Enjoy what God's give you.
Amen.
Thank God that this wonderful church exists and that you are a member of this church. Ms. Stewart, you've been here a long time. And I hope you have as many more as you've already had. But time is taking its toll on our bodies. This morning, I talked about self-evaluation. If you do the letters that I said, R-E-A-C-H, review all prior efforts, focus on the target, in sync with the direction God's sending you. E, expectations, where am I going? A, accomplishments, what have I gained? Conflicts. What, who, or why am I struggling? Hours spent. Here's one I was looking for, Dave. Hours spent. Have I balanced myself to be effective? You may went to Bible college like I did, and you may never miss a service, but that don't mean you love Jesus.
Go ahead.
It don't. It don't mean you love Jesus. Just because you went to Bible college and know all the ins and outs of preaching, getting all your words right and everything set in place, that don't mean you love Jesus. I know a lot of guys graduated from Bible college this pastor in church that don't know the Jesus I know. Come on now. Everybody all right? I'm just trying to be straight with you. I want you to see that there's more when you get up off of that altar and you claim Christ as your Savior and He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, seals it with His own blood. There's more than that altar experience. There's another step and another step and another. Do y'all realize that God wants to take you to a higher level than you are right now? And it's going to cost you something.
Yes, sir.
God's going to try you. God's going to test you.
Right.
And all you young preachers better get that in your head right now, that God's going to test you.
Yes, sir.
And try you and put you through circumstances and situations that you don't have a clue that's coming down the road.
Yep.
I've been in this thing for 52 years. And I know what God's did in my life. God has broke me, not just once, but three or four times. God's going to do that. Hours spent. Have I balanced myself to be effective? As a pastor, you can get caught. You can commit to Martha sin. I have a message that I preach on the Martha sin. Lord, why don't you tell Mary to do something? Martha was frustrated.
Yes, sir.
Because Mary wasn't helping her. Where was Mary at? Sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to what He said. What's Martha doing? In the kitchen.
Yeah. Well,
in the kitchen. God don't want you in the kitchen all the time.
That's right.
God wants you to sit at His feet.
Amen.
And listen to what He says. What is this book trying to tell us?
Yeah.
How many of you this week have spent 30 minutes just reading this book? Just 30 minutes. How many of you spent 30 minutes reading a newspaper? Ain't nothing good in a newspaper. It's all bad. And that's why you read it. We gloat in pain. That's what we do. Now, some more evaluations. I wanted to preach a message out of Daniel chapter 12 tonight. I told my wife over in a motel, I said, that ain't what God wants me to do. She said, well, what does He want you to do? I said, He wants me to finish what I started this morning. And that's what I'm going to do. I'll be about, how long you got left in that bottle? If you start gasping, Miss Stewart, I'll quit. Okay? All right. Body. The Bible says your body is the temple.
Yes, sir.
Your body is a temple.
That's right. That's what the
Bible says. Of God.
Yes,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Your body. What you put in there is what you're going to get out.
Oh, yes.
Your attitude. Gratitude will increase your attitude, and attitude will increase your altitude. I worked on airplanes. I've thought that up years ago. Amen. Listening. What are you listening to? Where is your radio set? Do y'all have Christian music here? You got country music? You got rock music? You don't listen to it, do you? Good. How about you, preacher? You don't. You better not. I better not have David call me and tell me that preacher over been listening to rock music.
Amen.
Amen. I come down here. And you don't want me to come down here like that. Because I'll have an attitude for sure. Noticing co-labors. I told that black kid, raise your hand back there. There you are. I told him this morning, I said, you know what a church is? I said, a church is an emergency room.
Yeah.
It's a hospital.
Yes, sir.
This is where we repair lives. This is not where we beat them to death. I quit doing that a long time ago. Hey, beating your people to death ain't helping a bit. They get beat up enough out yonder in the world. They don't need to get beat up when they come in here. Amen. I don't do that. When I was pastoring, I tell all them evangelists that I call to have meetings for me, Dr. Walter Burrell, a whole bunch of them doctors. And they come, and I tell them, I said, listen, I called you to encourage my people. I didn't call you to come in here and beat them up. I know how to share them a lot better than you do. I said, you come in here, you exhort my people, you lift them up. I'll do the sharing when the sharing is due. Amen. I'm not coming down to Gateway Baptist Church and shear this flock of people. I'm not going to do that. And if you expected that, you're wrong as you can be. I changed direction in my ministry years ago. I finally figured out, finally got through my ears into my brain that preaching was exhorting. There is a time to rebuke, but there's a whole lot more exhorting than there is rebuking. And you come in my church as a preacher, you didn't do that. I'd set you down. Now, I'm not a dictator or a dominator, but you ain't beating up on my people as a pastor. That ain't going to happen. And if I come down here and David senses I'm beating up on his people, if he don't get up here and set me down, he ain't the preacher he ought to be. Amen. Y'all happy?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
If you're happy, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Awareness. Noticing co-laborers. Children and family. Already been through that one. Equipping. You know what that word? Those two words, reach and balance. We got to reach people, but we got to balance our lives. All right, I'm going to start where I quit this morning. I was talking about when Paul wrote to those Philippian believers, he said Christ-likeness must be our daily goal.
Yes, sir.
Paul gives three directions or directives that will turn your Christian life from duty to joy.
Uh-huh.
How many of y'all got up this morning excited about coming to church? Well, that's about a quarter of you. The rest of y'all just come, right? Well, I guess I better go to church if I don't, Davey a call. What am I going to tell him? Well, I laid out. I asked some choir members a while ago, I said, y'all tarred? No, we're good, we're good. And one lady said, yeah, I am, and the others is lying. Y'all been here all day. That's why I'm not going to be very long. So I said, examine yourself, 2 Corinthians 13:5 and 1 Corinthians 11:28. Talks about examining yourself. And Paul gives us five words in that text I read. I'm going to read one verse. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. That was Paul's goal. So I told you the words that he used. When you examine yourself, now y'all listen what I'm saying. Look up here. When you examine yourself, you know what Christ is saying? Don't look at somebody else and compare your spirituality with their spirituality.
Amen. Amen. You're right.
I was guilty of that. When I first surrendered my life to preach, Roy Yelton, he's pastor of Oakland Avenue Baptist Church in Johnson City. Man, he can pray. And I'd get down on my knees and I'd say, oh God, I want to pray like Roy. I begged God that I could pray like Roy. Finally, God said, listen to me, dummy. They ought to make one of them books like, you know, dummies. We all know what I'm talking about. They ought to make, somebody ought to write one of them to the church. Amen. And God said, listen, Roy is Roy. And Larry is Larry, and I don't expect you to be like Roy, and Roy ain't going to be like you.
Yep. That's good for your...
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What Christ is trying to say and what Paul is trying to say is look inside at your heart. For out of your heart are the issues of life. It don't take me long to be around a person and know whether they're a Christian or not. My spirit will bear witness their spirit that we are the children of God. Ask yourself this. How am I doing in my walk with Christ? Where are you? Ask yourself that. How am I doing in my walk with Christ? Where are you in your walk with Christ? Even that makes me think. Where am I at in my Christian life? I talked about, Paul said, don't look back. You know what looking back does? And I didn't mention this morning. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus says this, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know why he said that? If you read that chapter 3, one of them come up and said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And then another one said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid farewell, which are at my house and home. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Here's what looking back does. Looking back transfixes our mind on the past and not the future. It's always how it used to be. I had some guys out in the front this morning. I said, how's your church doing? Not a one of them said, well, I can tell you I'm not interested in how it used to be. I want to know where you're going now. Amen. Not only that, but it freezes a person's forward view when you start looking back. What Paul had already accomplished in the past wouldn't help him to reach his goal. He said that, forgetting what's behind me and looking unto Jesus. That's what he said. To know Christ, he didn't lose all memory of his past, read Romans 7, but he refused to let his past impede his goal to be like Christ. If I ask you to express one singular person for your life, what would it be? What would it be? I wrote this down a few months ago. Could this be a committed Christian vow? Lord, I give up all my plans and purposes, all my desires and hope, and accept your will for my life. And then I wrote this. Whatever thou dost want, take. Whatever thou dost have come to pass, send. Wherever thou would havest me to go, lead. And whatever thou wouldest have me surrender, reveal. Y'all want me to say that again? Y'all didn't get it. Whatever thou dost want, take. That means my pilot's ratings. That means the best job I ever had in my life with Eastman Cutter. That means no left seat for Piedmont Airlines. No salary, $250,000 a year. No. Whatever thou dost want, take. Whatever thou wouldst have come to pass, send. Wherever thou wouldst have me go, lead. I didn't want to go to that little mountain church in Irwin, Tennessee. I didn't. 18 members. No, I wanted a big one. But I am so glad that the three churches I had, the most I ever had was 41 when I started. It's the most. And then, whatsoever thou wouldst have me surrender, reveal. How many of you have got down on this altar, I can't go much further, and say, she'll get me, and say, God, I have come here to surrender all my life to you. I want your will to be done in my life. Get up off that altar and go back and you ain't even here the next Sunday. I've seen it happen so many times. I've got out on the altar and prayed, and they said, I'm going to give God my everything. I'm going to do anything he wants me to do, and they ain't even back Sunday night. So you just lied right up here. Amen. Let me tell y'all something. From there to over there is holy ground. And I'm telling y'all, bless God, don't look at my socks. You ought to pull your shoes off, because you're on holy ground when you get here. When you walk up those steps in that choir loft, that's holy ground. That's separation. That's dedication. That's surrendering all to God. Everything, my whole life, my thoughts. How many of you kids going to college? Raise your hand. Come on, stick them up there. Good night. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's old people over here, so they ain't raising their hand. Do y'all know what you're getting into? When my grandson, Dakota, which lives in Greenville now, works for Coke, I went up to visit him. Everybody knows where Daniel Boone End is. That building right behind Daniel Boone End was his dorm. I go visit him. And I see females. And I asked Dakota, I said, Dakota, what's all these girls doing up here? He said, Papa, this is a co-ed dorm. That's what you're going into. My granddaughter's at Mars Hill, and her roommate last year wanted to rent an apartment because her and a boyfriend's been living together all summer. And she wanted Sydney to move in with her in an apartment off campus. And y'all can do the rest of the math. You know what Sydney said? No. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, on her left hand is a purity ring. You got one. In a ceremony at Abbots Creek Baptist Church, when she was a freshman in high school, they had a purity service. And all these girls and boys said, I'm going to abstain from sex outside of marriage. And when I stand at that altar, I'm going to stand there worthy of a white gown.
That's good, preacher. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
You're right.
Yeah.
Amen.
I want to be worthy to wear a white gown down the center aisle of that church.
That's good.
You're going to have to make up your mind.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to serve God. I don't care what comes down the pipe, but I am not compromising my morals to satisfy somebody else. Sydney said, I'm not doing it. I'll live in a dorm before I'll do that.
Amen.
You know what I did?
Amen.
I hugged her neck.
Yeah.
And I said, baby girl, you made the right decision.
Yeah.
And she held out her left hand and said, look at that. I'm going to stay pure.
Amen.
And on my wedding night, my husband is going to have a rose of chariot.
Amen.
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 I married one like that, but I couldn't. Can I be transparent with y'all for a minute? I felt so dirty. I'm saved. God's forgiven me of all my sin. I felt so dirty and so unclean on my wedding night. I'm being straight up with you. That's exactly the way I felt. And I couldn't look my wife in the eyes and say, honey, I've never known anybody but you. I couldn't. But she could look me in the eyes and say, honey, you're the first man that I've known. Boy, it got quiet on that one. You know, I found out. Just tell it like it is. Let me read y'all something. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Listen to this. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. You know how many times conscience is mentioned in the New Testament? 29 times. 29 times. And I've wrote this down and then we'll be done. What would it be like for those things that I just said? Whatever thou dost won't take, whatever thou wast have come to pass sin, wherever thou wast have me go, lead, whatever thou wouldst have me surrender, reveal. Paul said, I want to know Christ. I want to know him. I want to know him. You know what God says? Listen to this. I wrote this down. Why do we need to forget our past for conscience? Why do we need to forget our sins and failures? And I wrote this down. Surely you know that you've been forgiven. About those regrets, if you think of them at all, we need to see that they're only stepping stones toward knowledge. About those failures, to emphasize your failures is actually to de-emphasize God's power to forgive. You know what God's saying? God's saying, I know. I said, God, I hurt. God said, I know. God, I'm so depressed at times. He said, that's why I gave you this book. I said, God, my loved one died. God said, so did mine. Oh, God, mine was such a loss. He said, they nailed mine to a cross. He said, I know. Did I not make you a covenant that's sealed? I will not forsake you. You're not alone. I'm all around you. My glory is revealed. My love surrounds you. I know. I said, but God, your loved one lives. God said, so does yours. Amen. So does yours. I asked him, where are they tonight? He said, they're at peace because they're in my sight. I said, God, I hurt. God said, my child, I know. I know. I know. I don't know about y'all, but I sure find a lot of comfort in that.
Yes, sir.
I really do. God said, I understand it all. Will you choose to trust me? It's a choice that you have to make.
That's right.
Choose to forgive yourself. God said, I forgive you. Self-inflicted punishment can do nothing to alter the past, and continued remorse is of no value at all. Forgiveness means you are free from yesterday forever. But you know what we love to do, and I see this a lot as a pastor, especially when somebody dies in the family. You know what we do? We go pull out a scrapbook. And we begin to read the clippings and look at the pictures. We love to indulge ourselves and luxuriate ourselves in the achievements of the past. And I wrote this in red, but watch out. Sad is a person who has only the clippings of the past. Well, I thought I'd be further along than that, but I ain't. A.W. Tozer said, get thoroughly dissatisfied with yourself. He said, set your face like a flint toward a sweeping transformation of your life. Put yourself in the way of blessings. Can I add this? It's a mistake to expect God's help to come as a windfall apart from conditions known and met. To desire revival and at the same time to neglect prayer and devotion is to wish one way and walk another. Do a thorough job of repenting. Make restitution whenever possible. How many of y'all yelled at your wife this week? Don't raise your hand. Have you apologized? Have you said, honey, I'm sorry? How many of you kids have backtalked your mom and dad this week? I can see some of you have because I can see it on your face. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you told mom I'm sorry? I had to do that. Hardest thing I've ever done in my life is say, mom, I'm sorry. Mom put her hand right there. She said, son, it's all covered by mother's love. How many of you wives have said mean things to your husband this week? Have you went and apologized and said, honey, I'm sorry? And you want to know what's wrong with your marriage? You want to know why we're not communicating anymore? You want to know why we're living in a mental divorce? We're living with a person we ain't got nothing going. I'm sorry is the sweetest words that you'll ever hear, but they're the hardest ones you'll ever say. I'm sorry. How many of y'all have had a disagreement with a church member this week and talked about them? Have you this day went to that person and said, I talked about you last week and I want you to forgive me? This is rampant in teenagers talking about each other. Davey, I'm done. I've tried my best to do what God called me to do. Make restitution whenever possible. I'm going to close this story, and I'm done. What time is it? 8 o'clock. We've been here an hour and a half. I pastored a big church. Blood, sweat, and tears. And God built that church. I held a revival in Danville, Virginia. Went 2 weeks and 3 days. I don't know how many was saved. But I didn't leave my church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. On the second week on Sunday night, I come into church and I was walking down the aisle to my study. And one of my trustees said this. He said, you're going to go full time or else. I said, what's the or else? He said, we'll vote you out. I said, you can't do it. So the next Sunday morning, I called for a silent vote of confidence. I carried 93%. I said, what y'all going to do now? I left that church because I didn't want to bring 41 members before the church and have them voted out, which I could have. And so I left in December. A few years later, I got a phone call. And it was one of it was his wife. She called his name, said he's in the hospital. And I told Shelby, I ain't going. Bitterness. Meanness. I ain't going. She said, you ain't got no choice. I said, I'm not going over there. After what he said to me and done to me and tried to get me voted out, no, I'm not doing it. And then God took over, Davey.
Yes, sir.
He said, you're going. I went to the hospital. And I walked in that hospital room, Davey, and this man started crying. He said, "Preacher, you know why I'm here?" I said, "No." He said, "I'm dying." He said, "The Bible said, lay not thine hand on the anointed of God." And he said, "That's what I done." And he started crying, and he said, "I'm sorry, and I want you to preach my funeral." At that man's funeral, there were four pallbearers. There were eight, but there were four standing in a row. And those four had collaborated with him to get me voted out of the church. This is 2 years later. I'm at New Hope Baptist Church and the phone ain't ringing. I got bitterness and I got aught against four brothers, four deacons. I preached that man's funeral. And I said, "I ain't shaking her hand. After what they done to me, no, I ain't shaking." And then God took over. He always does that. He said, "You're going to apologize to them and shake their hand or you're done." I walked over there, Davey. Excuse my bare feet, okay. I walked over and I took the first ones by the hand and I said, "Brother, I'm sorry. I've had an ought against you for over 2 years. I want you to forgive me." I've done all four of them like that. And at that cemetery across from the RV place, Jesus is standing up on a hill. Amen. A monument of Jesus with both hands up in the air like that. I got through preaching that funeral and I went up there and sat down under Jesus. And about 2 seconds after I sat down, the glory filled my soul. I had a Holy Ghost fit sitting under Jesus. You preacher boys, all people ain't going to do you right. But I'm going to tell you one thing. You better not carry an ought against whoever it is. You better get rid of that completely, or I'm telling you, it'll eat you like a cancer. It'll eat your very heart and soul out of you. I want you to think about that. You want revival, you're going to have to get right with God and get right with your fellow church member and keep your mouth shut. And if you got anything to say, make sure it's something good and not bad. Amen. Father, I love you. I love these people. I love this preacher. I love his wife, his son, and the two baby girls. God, this church didn't call him here. God sent him here. And we need tonight some self-evaluation. We need to look and say, "God, Larry has recalled all the wrong that I've done. And I'm going down to that altar. And if there's anybody here that I have an ought against, I'm going to them and say I'm sorry." That's what took place in Burlington, North Carolina. They're going in their 10th week starting next week. Not this past Friday, but the Friday before that, 6,100 people there. You know why they're having revival? Because about three men got right with God and got their alt settled. And buddy, God came down and glory filled their soul. I'm asking you as a friend of this pastor, please take a self-evaluation. Find out where you stand and get it settled tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Let's stand to our feet. Kim's got a song.